Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. So, I stopped at the gas station earlier today, and I got these things called Sahale cashews. It's S-A-H-A-L-E. I think that we need to probably lobby the federal government to try to regulate them. They were covered in some sort of mixture of vanilla and pomegranate and God only knows, I'm sure a ton of sugar. Oh my goodness. Should be a Schedule I narcotic. Things like crack. They're a little more expensive than your traditional gas station snack, so... But, man, if you see them, check them out. That was something else. I don't think I would do it every day, but... Sahale. It must be some other language for crack. So if you're watching what's going on in the media, I don't know. It all happens so fast, it's hard to react to. And so much of it is political, and I don't really like politics. Like, I really hate politics. The politics, the party part, right? Like, I like principles. I like people who have beliefs. I like people with convictions and want to talk about specific issues or specific public policy decisions or a direction for the country. I love all that stuff. But the party politics part, I find abhorrent. I try to get involved locally in politics. I thought that would be good. I'm a registered Republican. And even on the local level, what goes on is kind of gross. And they're all nice people. I don't necessarily want to talk bad about anybody. I just think it's the way it works. The process is kind of slimy. And I think it made me realize that if you could ascend the local politic hierarchy in any party and then get to like the state level and then the national level, you are so compromised as a human being that there's no hope. And that's why I think when you see all these politicians end up doing pretty much the exact same stuff, it's because the number of compromises and deals they have to make to get anywhere is probably unimaginably large. So that's why they don't like Trump, because he didn't play the game. He doesn't owe them favors, so nobody likes him. But, yeah, so if you're watching what's going on, so Roseanne said something people didn't like. I don't even want to get into it. And then, so she got fired. And then, I guess the same day or something, some liberal comedian on TBS, which did you know TBS was still on? Like, when I was a kid, we used to watch Braves games on TBS because every Braves game is on TBS. So you could, if there was no baseball on TV, you could always watch the Braves on TBS. Like, that was a thing. I thought it was gone. I don't know. I don't have regular cable, to be fair. I just assumed it was gone. But apparently it's not. And there's some leftist political hack comedian who has a show on there, who decided the thing to do was to insult the president's daughter because she doesn't like the president's immigration policy. Which, aside from the rhetoric, isn't actually different than anyone else's immigration policy, because it's a law that was passed by Congress, or a series of laws passed by Congress. So I don't really understand why we're going to insult the president's daughter, who holds no elected office nor is in Congress, but that's what she did. So now the right is wanting her fired. But the thing that stands out to me is that all these celebrities have now piled on, also insulting the president of the United States' daughter. And now it's slightly different, I guess, than some recent presidents, because she's an adult. So, like, Bush's kids were still kids when he was in the White House, I think, for at least most of the time. Obama's kids were kids. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. I'm recording this late at night. It's past my bedtime. But, yeah, so, and the Clinton's daughter was a child when they were in the White House. So, it's a little different, I guess, because she's an adult. So, I guess you could criticize her more so than you could the children, you know, children of the president normally or recently. But all these celebrity women who are supposedly feminists and obviously Marxists are piling on and insulting her, I guess partly in defense of the comedian, the hack comedian, and partly because, feminism has nothing to do with women. Like, literally nothing to do with women. It was obvious at the Women's March when all pro-life women were told they weren't welcome, which, if you believe polling data, is more than half of women aren't welcome at the Women's March. Christian women are routinely mocked publicly. Women have chosen to be stay-at-home wives and mothers are routinely mocked. And I guess any woman on the right is fair game. And like I said, that proves that the movement of feminism is not about women, because if it were about women, then you would be happy with any choice any woman made and support it. But no, that's not what goes on. So the president's daughter, who I think is pretty liberal, I don't even know, but she's fair game to insult her, because the feminist movement is actually just a Marxist movement. So it has nothing to do with women. It's Marxism. It's why they pretty much defend half the Me Too people. It's why you have these Hollywood women saying that Roman Polanski should be allowed back into the country, even though he raped a child. Drugged and anally raped a child, was convicted and ran away prior to being sentenced, and is hiding in France. And these Hollywood female actresses think that he's great and he should come back. That's why Oprah Winfrey and Hillary Clinton and Meryl Streep and all these other females, big female feminists, are huge fans of Harvey Weinstein, who they 100% knew was a predator. There's nobody in Hollywood that didn't know that Harvey Weinstein was a predator. And they supported him. Meryl Streep called him God. Well, why? If you're a feminist, if you're an advocate for women and the women's movement, why would you support a serial rapist? Or somebody who anally raped a drugged child? Well, the reason is because it has nothing to do with women. Just the thing that they use to get in where they want to go, right? Which is Marxism. So if they can shut you up or shut you down by saying it's for women or blacks or Hispanics, Latinas, LGBT, trans people, you know, that's all they're doing. You know, these movements get co-opted by Marxists, and then the Marxists take over and they turn on any woman who or person in the movement who doesn't support their agenda, and they think it's acceptable, and that's what goes on. So you see Samantha Bee. I don't even want to name her. Who the heck is Samantha Bee? Some stupid comedian nobody's ever heard of. And now Sally Field has piled on, a mini driver. And I'm sure if I spent enough time on social media, I could find a dozen more, male and female, who think it's acceptable to call the president of the United States' daughter a feckless cunt, which is what she said. And I apologize for the language. But that's exactly what she called her. And it's unfortunate. And I think it's sad, you know? So here I am. It's funny, you know? Here I am, the advocate of traditionalism, the advocate of the patriarchy, the advocate of masculinity in society. And I feel like somehow or another, I'm the one defending women. it's not my deal. Like, I'm not a woman. I say all the time, all allies are creepers. I'm not a feminist ally. I'm not a feminist. I would never call myself a feminist. I would never go to one of their marches. I have no interest. If my wife wanted to do that, I would say, have a good time. It's not my thing. But how in the world is it not okay for a woman to choose their own political beliefs? How in the world is it not okay for a woman to choose her own religious beliefs? Like, what movement is more like, you know, Sharia Islam, the right, the Republican right, who are Christian and for the most part and libertarian and believe in freedom and liberty and individual rights, or the left? And the answer is the left, right? If you don't believe the correct orthodoxy, if you don't act the right way, if you don't say the right things, then they stone you to death in the public square. And they do it with words and curse words and horrible insults, but it's no different. Obviously, you don't physically die per se. So that's slightly better than Sharia Islam, but not a whole lot better, right? If you don't buy in 110% to the Marxist orthodoxy, if you're not 100% on their page with abortion and atheism and open borders and lawlessness and on and on and on, hating police officers, hating America, then you don't get to be in their movement. And they feel free to trash you in public. And the men, the creeper allies, feel free to do it too. And nobody's going to come to the, nobody from that movement, nobody in the feminist movement is going to come to the defense of Ivanka Trump, who is an accomplished human being. She's an educated woman. She's successful in business. She's obviously very smart. She's married. She's a mother. Like, first wave feminism, this is what, Ivanka Trump is what they were talking about. You can have it all. You can have a career and be a mother. Well, there she's doing it. She's got a career and a mother, and she's a mother, and she's a wife, and she's doing all this stuff, and she's doing public policy advocation, and she's doing a lot of things. It's exactly what the women of the 60s told the women of the previous generation they could have. That was the promise. The promise was you could have that. You could be a success in business. You could be a success in the home. You could be educated. All these things you could do. There were more opportunities available. We're going to get you all these things. This is the promise of that movement. And it's descended into this Marxist hell, where the only thing that matters is the ideology. And I totally don't agree with all the people who keep saying that these people should be fired. Please don't fire them. Please encourage them to continue. Because the more they reveal themselves, the more they appear to be who they really are, which is these ideological bullies who just go after people and attack them, the more we're going to win. Because America rejects that message. They live in these little echo chamber, little thought bubbles where they all agree with each other and they think it's okay. Where you see Sally Field and Minnie Driver, who's not even an American, by the way, come piling on in support of Samantha Bee and encouraging her. Yeah, keep doing it. And they will. They'll keep doing it. You got to just let them go. Don't fire her. Please don't fire her. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Nominate Keith Ellison to be president of the United States. Please, for the love of God. Or Joe Biden, either one. It's just ridiculous. But it's important that you see it for what it is. It's important that you recognize the fact that this is what feminism has become. Feminism has become a weapon of Marxists. It has nothing to do with women. If you are a woman who is pro-life and educated and has a career and is a mother, a dedicated mother and wife, and you believe in Jesus Christ, you are not part of feminism. They want nothing to do with you. You've made the wrong choices. You haven't signed up for their ideology and you're out. In order to be a feminist today, and it doesn't matter if you're male or female, but in order to be a feminist today, you have to be pro-abortion on demand. You have to be pro-socialized medicine. You have to be pro-open borders, despite the fact that that puts women in danger. You have to be pro-illegal immigrant, despite the fact that that puts women in danger. You have to be pro-socialist taxes. And you have to be an atheist. And if you aren't those things, you're out. And that's it. That's how it works. When I was a kid, we used to go to these parties. My father had a friend, and the friend had a, I think it had been a farm at one time. It was up this dirt road in the side of a mountain. It was a big farmhouse and a lot of land around it, and the guy would throw these parties that lasted 3 or 4 days. And as a youngster, I wasn't sure, or I wasn't aware of what was going on around me. But, you know, all the kids would sleep up in the attic together. They'd send us all up there. It was furnished. It was nice up there. And then like 10 or 12 of us, we'd all go sleep up there. And during the day, we were unsupervised. We'd do whatever we wanted. So they would feed us. But that was about it. So we'd play, you know, whatever. We'd find games to play, hide and seek, and baseball, and whatever. And they had a ton of animals. They had, I don't know, 3 or 4 dogs, these slobbery dogs. And then they had cats. I don't know if the cats were really their cats or they just lived there. I'm not really sure. But there was all these cats around. And there was this one cat that I guess I liked it. I was following it around. I was probably 5. And they had a lazy boy chair in a corner. And the cat jumped over the Lazy Boy chair into the corner, the space between the chair and the corner of the room, which I now recognize that behavior as the cat's trying to get away and that you shouldn't go then continue to pursue it. But as a child, I thought it was funny, and so I climbed up on the chair and leaned over the back of the chair to see the cat. And the cat immediately, I guess, realizing that it was had nowhere to go, it leapt up and went to scratch me with its claw, and the claw from one of its front paws went inside my nose and just tore my nose to shreds. And it hurt. I still remember how bad it hurt. And there's just blood pouring out everywhere. And 100% my fault, right? Well, I guess maybe my parents' fault for not paying any attention to me for 2 days. You know, it's the 80s, folks. It's not like today, you know? Unsupervised children. So, yeah, I remember that. And how bad it hurt. I wasn't afraid of cats after that, but I was wary of them. I recognized in that moment their potential to cause me harm. I think that's important. It's an important part of growing up. It's an important part of being a well-adjusted human being. To recognize the potential of other things to cause you harm, whether it's illness or animals or people or your environment. You need to understand that life is hard, and there's things out there that can hurt you and will hurt you if you don't act right. And maybe even if you do act right, but you're certainly better off if you act right and give some respect to some of those things. You hear all these stories about, you know, joggers getting mauled by mountain lions somewhere, or people getting attacked by bears. I wouldn't say you couldn't get attacked by a bear if you were acting right. You probably could. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say the people who get attacked by bears aren't. Because you know people, man. So if there's 1,000 people go off into the woods, I'd say 400 of them probably aren't acting right. And every once in a while, one of those gets jacked up by a bear. It's important. It's important to respect the things around you and their ability to do you harm. I think that's to keep that in mind. Like I said, the weather can do you harm, your environment, temperature, precipitation, I mean, wind, other people, malevolent people, animals, which are not malevolent. But all that's possible. And I caught a glimpse into that in Pine Bush, New York, on a farm, leaned over a Lazy Boy chair with blood gushing out of my nose from that cat. Oh my goodness. Excuse me. Oh, what a day. So my middle daughter didn't like the dog, and she would get mad if she had to take it out, and she was rough with it all the time. I tried to talk to her. She's a sweet girl. She did not like the dog. And we tried to talk to her about how important it was to be gentle and kind and whatever. And so for over a year, she didn't abuse the dog. She just wasn't nice to it. She had to take it out. She would yank on his collar. I used to tell her, man, don't do it. And and I don't know if it's why or not, but the dog attacked her yesterday. It just reminded me of that cat. I think for my daughter, she learned that you got to respect animals and their ability to do you harm. And you can't take for granted that they're going to be nice. So we had to get rid of the dog. I wasn't going to have a dog that was willing to attack children around the children. So, and that one is almost the biggest of all of them. So, you know, my son is only 5 years old. The dog could kill him. So the dog had to go. So there's some sadness in the house. Mostly I'm sad that my daughter got hurt. You know, I feel terrible. We brought this dog in the house and it hurt her. But I think that it's partially her fault, unfortunately. Sad to say, I think, but partially. I think it might have been partially her fault. Maybe not. Maybe the dog just lost his mind. I don't know. But I think that it's important to respect the things around you that can hurt you. It's important to recognize that those threats the potential threats of cats and corners. So listen, thanks for tuning in. It's kind of a short one, I think, kind of weird and juxtaposed. I wasn't going to record today, but I haven't recorded all week, and I just thought I needed to get something down, so I think it was okay. Let me know what you think, but hopefully you enjoyed it, and we'll catch you tomorrow.